military parade at the Presidential Palace in Hanoi, welcoming President Obama ahead of a joint news conference with the country's president, Tran Dai Quang. The complicated relationship between the U.S. and Vietnam may have gotten just a little bit simpler.
This change will ensure that Vietnam has access to the equipment it needs to defend itself and removes a lingering vestige of the Cold War.
President Obama in Hanoi announcing the end of a decades-long arms embargo on Vietnam, moving it from former enemy to potential arms customer of the U.S. President Obama is now the third sitting president to visit this Cold War adversary since President Bill Clinton visited in 2000. With me now to discuss this ever more normalizing relationship is Edward Miller, the author of Misalliance, No Dinh Diem, the U.S. and the Fate of South Vietnam, and a professor of history at Dartmouth College. He says visiting Vietnam seems to have become a 21st century tradition for U.S. presidents.
The U.S. normalized its ties with Vietnam 20 years ago in 1995. And since then, the relationship has really grown by leaps and bounds. And when you go to Vietnam today, when you talk to officials in both governments, they really make it clear that this is a warm relationship and it's a high priority for both of them. And there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons has to do with the shared concerns about China, especially China's aggressive moves in the South China Sea in recent years. I think there's also, though, a lot of focus on trade. Trade is booming between the United States and Vietnam. It hit more than $30 billion last year. And then I think there's also the issue of the memory of the war and reconciliation between the United States and Vietnam.
In the region, you've got Taiwan, China, interesting challenges in the South China Sea that seem to be confronting the Philippines. Where does Vietnam fit into all that? Or is it in some ways insulated from all that and that the U.S. goes to visit Vietnam to get away from those confrontations?
Vietnam is not at all insulated from the conflicts in the South China Sea. Vietnam is actually one of the major players or contestants that's involved in the ongoing disputes over the South China Sea. Like China, Vietnam claims sovereignty over a huge portion of the South China Sea. And of all the various claimants, Vietnam and China are the ones that are in most direct conflict and direct confrontation. Vietnam claims sovereignty over both of the major island chains in the South China Sea, the Paracels and the Spratlys, as China does. The other countries in the region claim pieces of those chains, but Vietnam, along with China, is really one of the central actors.
Wouldn't it be ironic if the U.S. were to actually get access to the extraordinary port at Cam Ranh Bay as a base to watch, I suppose, contain, the Chinese would say, the People's Republic of China after the war when that bay was used for naval operations against the Vietnamese themselves?
I think that would be ironic from a historical standpoint, but at the same time, it would also fit with sort of larger patterns in Vietnamese history, because Cam Ranh Bay has long been a very strategic port. It's the best natural deep water harbor in Southeast Asia. And so many different countries over the last century have used it as a naval base. France, Japan, the Soviet Union, and of course the United States during the Vietnam War. So if the United States does gain access to Cam Ranh Bay, it will be regaining access and it will be sort of continuing this pattern of great powers who have used it as a staging point.
What do you make of this embargo, you know, dropping this embargo that the President Obama did today? Is it a significant move forward or just a symbolic gesture? And does the U.S. have influence on human rights issues in Vietnam?
Well, let me take the issue of the arms embargo first. It's more than just a symbolic gesture. I think on the one hand, it is something that the Vietnamese government has been seeking for a long time. And so in that sense, it's something that Obama can offer that the Vietnamese government really wants. From the United States standpoint, I think this is clearly being undertaken with an eye on China and with the escalating tensions in the South China Sea. However, I do think that this could have a potential impact going forward. Vietnam still buys the majority of its military hardware from Russia, and that's a direct legacy of the Cold War when Vietnam was in the orbit of the Soviet Union in the 1970s and 1980s. potentially this could change it. This could lead over the long run to closer U.S.-Vietnam military relations. And potentially it could lead to more revenue for American defense contractors. So in all those ways, it's significant. On the question of human rights, the United States certainly has influence with this. And I think that U.S. diplomats, the U.S. mission in Vietnam, spends a lot of time talking to their Vietnamese counterparts about human rights. And actually not just talking. U.S. diplomats in Vietnam routinely make a point of visiting opposition figures who have been targeted by the regime for their views on democracy and on other human rights questions. So this is an important aspect of U.S.-Vietnam relations. It's clearly not the most important aspect. I think the economic and the security considerations take precedence over human rights, but it's definitely a key part of the relationship.
Edward Miller is professor of history at Dartmouth College, author of Misalliance, No Dinh Diem, the U.S. and the Fate of South Vietnam. He's also the founder of the Dartmouth Vietnam Project.